Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Earlier today, the Gorda Commissioner, Drew Harris, said inquiries are ongoing into sinister agendas at anti-refugee protests following a number of demonstrations that have taken place recently against the housing of refugees and asylum seekers here. Have a listen.
In the background, and we are gathering information on individuals who, in the background, have a more sinister agenda and wish to use this for their own motives. And their motives are not good. Their motives could be described as being far right, and we are very much aware of that, and our investigations and inquiries are ongoing in respect of them. But again, we have to wait and see what happens. If there is a breach of the criminal law, then obviously then we will act in terms of reporting the matter to the DPP.
And that is Drew Harris, the Gorda Commissioner. Now, this afternoon on Liveline, we also heard from an asylum seeker currently living in the Travel Lodge in Ballymun in North Dublin. He spoke about the impact of protests like last night on people living here.
These actions, you know, and chants caused a feeling of panic and fear among the women and children who are staying in the hotel that the authorities have designated for international protection seekers. Even on one occasion, there was a speaker who was addressed the demonstrators gathered in front of the hotel, and he described the asylum seekers as undocumented and criminals, and you can find this in the social media. This is a pure slander and lies. You know, for example, I came to Ireland with my true identities, with my passport, and presented them to the authorities. Okay. We left our countries forcibly. We left behind our lives, our families and children, in search for safety, in search for freedom, and living in dignity. We are not criminals. We are normal people, and we hope to live a normal life and contribute positively to the society we have come to.
And that is one asylum seeker currently living in the Travel Lodge in Ballymun, speaking on Liveline on RTÉ Radio 1 earlier today. Well, for more on this, we're joined in studio by Fianna Fáil Senator Malcolm Byrne and Independent TD for Clare, Michael McNamara. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might turn to you, Malcolm, first of all, because you're calling for a bill. You're working on a bill that would prohibit protests outside residential homes to also apply to protests outside direct provision centres. How would that work?
Well, I introduced a bill, Cormac, and good evening to you and your listeners. I introduced a bill in November 21 to the Oireachtas, which would restrict the right to protest outside an individual's principal private residence. At the time, that would have been, you might recall, that there were protests outside the homes of individual politicians, outside the chief medical officer's home, senior people who senior doctors and those in the health service. But this, I believe, would also apply to anywhere where somebody calls home. I strongly defend the right of any individual to peacefully protest. But if you disagree with government policy on a particular issue, there are plenty of places to protest outside Leinster House.
So how much of an exclusion zone?
So the proposal is a 200-metre exclusion zone. This is already in place in a number of locations in the US. I certainly heard the former Assistant Commissioner Leahy, who was on with Clare Byrne this morning. He talked about the fact that Gardaí have more powers in the UK in this regard. This is about, it's not about inhibiting people's right to protest, but I think for anybody, the idea that, you know, people can protest outside your home, no matter if that home is only a temporary home, as is the case
for asylum seekers. You don't like it. How would you view that, Michael McNamara?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'd agree with Malcolm. I mean, I don't think people should be protesting outside anybody's home. There's a lot of talk about Irishness and defending Irishness among some of these protesters. I don't think it's a very Irish thing to do, to protest in the face of children, whether these children are fleeing from a war zone or whether they're not. Either way, they're in a very new environment. They're obviously afraid. It's a new place. And I think to be protesting and frightening them is something I would disagree with completely.
Even if people have legitimate concerns. And let's leave the far right elements that Drew Harris mentioned to one side for a second. What about people who feel that they didn't get enough communication or information from government, that they feel their public services perhaps may be impinged by this? These are the concerns that people
I was going to continue and say I would agree with Malcolm that I disagree with protesting outside homes are places where there are children congregating, or anybody who's vulnerable congregating. But I'm not. I don't agree with Malcolm that the way to combat this is through the use of legislation, through exclusion zones, etc. Well, because it's not going to change the fact that, yes, there may be sinister groups who are trying to manipulate this, but there's a relatively large cohort of the population and an increasing cohort of the population, which is a worry, I think, who are beginning to resent this and feel that they're being left behind and feel that their concerns aren't being as taken seriously as others. And I do think that's a very difficult... It's easy to pass laws. It's very difficult to combat that for the government. And I do think a lot of work needs to be done. I mean, I come from a county where there's in particular towns and villages that are largely reliant on tourism, there are a lot of the, almost all of the hotel beds now are taken up by refugees and asylum seekers.
To fulfil our legal obligations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what is the concern then?
The difficulty will be next summer if, mm-hmm. because these communities are reliant on tourism, they're reliant on the people who come to as tourists and spend money. That's what the economy is reliant on. Mm-hmm. So if those hotel rooms are not freed up, if the hotel rooms are freed up, the government are going to have a huge difficulty. But equally, if they're not, there's going to be a lot of resentment. And I do think that the government something needs to be done very, very quickly.
Are you
around
saying the government
emergency.
Isn't listening then?
Sorry?
You're
no, I think the government is listening, but unfortunately, we're not seeing action around the very large-scale construction projects that are required as a matter of extreme urgency.
Growing
we're going to have to house a lot of people by next summer.
How do you stop growing resentment?
Okay, I think that, well, I suppose there are two issues, and I think, and I'm glad that Michael agrees with me, and actually I do think that legislation does work. It has worked in other jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. And I think what we need to do is we need to be able to give the necessary powers to the Gardaí that if, unruly protests take place in particular areas, we need to give them the powers to be able to address that. And I think the overwhelming majority of people in Ireland, and one of the things that, you know, I think is quite inspiring is the cross-party and cross-community support that we've seen in a number of communities where we've seen these protests over the last number of nights. Yes, there are very legitimate concerns in these communities, but these communities have spoken out and said our concerns are not going to be addressed by these extreme groups.
Respectfully, you're not addressing the points that Michael is making.
Well, I was going to come to...
What you're addressing is the intimidation and the incitement of hatred and the far-right element of the protest. And that's fair enough. But can I ask you to address his point about the growing resentment and what he terms the legitimate concerns of ordinary people?
And there are concerns, and I don't think that I think it is important that we listen to those. I think that, you know, we shouldn't shy away from an evidence-based debate around our immigration policies and so on. We have legal and we have moral obligations with regard to those who are coming to this country and who are seeking refuge here. I certainly think that, you know, there are questions that have to be raised around the process. I mean, those who come to seek asylum, you know, a lot of them are kind of left in limbo for a long period of time. We need to speed up that decision-making process.
So you're in favour of tougher immigration laws into Ireland?
Well, what I'm in favour of is speeding up the decisions that need to be taken. So if somebody comes here to seek asylum, that a decision is made fairly quickly as to whether or not that's going to be granted. And yes, I do agree with Michael, because I think there are a lot of communities, and I've certainly seen it, you know, in Wexford, where facilities in Cortown and Rosslare, you know, are taken over to be provided. And within communities, there is a concern, because often, as you say, that might be the only hotel serving the community or whatever. We need to look at investing and supporting those communities. The government, as you know, has made funding available to a lot of those communities. I think Joe O'Brien, who now has some specific responsibilities in this area, he has to be strongly supported and properly resourced, because I agree with you, Michael.
So support Joe O'Brien basically is a message, and they're working on providing backup supports.
I really hope they are, because we're going to need a lot of accommodation coming online very quickly, and I don't see foundations being dug. I don't see, you know, and without that, we're not going to simply be able to provide that level of accommodation. I mean,
so
you're looking
solution,
at Killarney,
then?
Liston, Varna, Ballyvaughan, right up the west mm-hmm. of Ireland. The solution is build a lot of houses, and we're running out of time.
But that's going to be done before spring. And Leo Varadkar said he expects the number of international protection applicants to continue to increase in the coming months, he said, including potentially thousands more people from Ukraine as the war continues.
We are going to need... I'm not saying build houses traditionally, but build large-scale accommodation that's going to house people with dignity in a very rapid manner. Yeah. I mean, it should not be beyond the state to do that. It's going to take huge resources.
We haven't done that for all of the housing crisis, the homelessness crisis.
And that is what's driving people, that's what's fostering resentment. People see that there's a huge shortage of housing. We haven't brought any emergency laws through the housing crisis, which, you know, we declared a housing crisis, did nothing about it. Now we have another crisis. And that, I think, is driving resentment to a huge extent.
Are you in favour of fulfilling Ireland's legal obligations?
It is a legal obligation, of course.
You have to fulfill it. So you accept that. So can I ask you both this question then? Is the cost of fulfilling our legal obligations on international protection that we all as a community, as a society, accept a diminution of the quality of life and public services that we get?
But we're expecting some communities to accept a greater diminution than others, because I think one community in Clare, Liston, Varna, there wasn't even an increase in a Garda presence. The town went from a couple of hundred people to over 1,000 people, and there were no additional resources.
Is that the cost for want of a better word?
What is a diminution around Donnybrook, around this area? There is none. So, I mean, it is unfair to expect some parts of the country to shoulder that burden on their own without help from central government, and other areas of the country that happen to be better healed are accepting no sacrifice whatsoever.
Is that what's happening?
Can I say, and first of all, I agree with Michael in terms of looking at, you know, we need a rapid deployment of modular homes. This is something that we've been trying to do as a government. There are resources, as you know, and there are specific funds that are being made available to communities. I think for some of the schools, and I mean, one of the things that I've certainly seen, I'm very heartened by, is the response of school communities, and additional supports are being made available to schools who have taken in Ukrainian students in particular, who've welcomed them. Some of those students who've been traumatized, and to the teachers and management of those schools, we have to acknowledge the work that they've done. And the supports have been put in place. And I agree with Michael. And those communities, and like Lisdoon Varna, and in my case, like Cortown and Rosslare, need those additional supports for the services that are locked out. They are, but they will need more. And Michael is correct. And this is going to be a challenge. And this is why government, and this is very clearly why...
Can I ask you, you say they are, but where are the extra GPs, for example?
Well, we have a shortage of GPs. And by the way, we would have had a shortage of GPs, you know, even if we didn't. There are those challenges. We've had a growing population. And I mean, a lot of the problems that we have, we've got to remember, the state only hit 4 million of a population in the late 90s. The census last year showed us at 5.1 million. We are growing. There are lots of challenges, which I accept. Where government is, and I think Michael and I are entirely in agreement on this, there are communities that are going beyond in terms of the response that they have. And those communities need additional supports that are going to be.
I'm trying to be extremely even-handed here. And can we pause for a second and say, these people are fleeing for their lives, and they have left their homes. They have left when they don't want to leave, and they're in a foreign country, and it's important that they be made feel welcome and so on. Now, but would you accept, Michael, that when thousands upon thousands of people left Ukraine, for example, to come to Ireland, the government looked around for quick solutions because they felt this would be a temporary thing and people would return home to Ukraine in due course. So they looked around in the tourist off-season. They felt, OK, an awful lot of the places like your own county in the west of Ireland have empty hotel rooms. Yep. Let's put them there as a temporary thing. Would you accept that was part of the thinking?
Yeah, I would, but I mean, by late summer, early autumn, I mean, it was becoming increasingly apparent this wasn't going to be a temporary thing. And I also welcome, I think Leo Varadkar said that a certain proportion of these people aren't going to go home. Life intervenes, people get jobs, people develop roots. I mean, let's face it, and that's the Ukrainian population. Then there are a lot of other people coming, many of whom are fleeing conflicts, but many of them are fleeing poverty and the lack of opportunities, and they're coming to a country which is crying out. I mean, I don't know a single business owner across Clare who can get labour now. So, I mean, that's the other side of it. I mean, there's a push-pull thing going on. But the problem is when the government policy is to push, albeit for good reason at the time, pushing everybody into certain communities. I mean, we do need to disperse people, and we do need to make sure that people are in places where they can access services, but also where they can access the labour market, because the majority of people, whether they come here from Ukraine fleeing conflict there, fleeing conflict in another country, are simply coming here as economic migrants, are coming to work. And I mean, the work is not, unfortunately, I'd love if it was, but the work is not not in Listenfarn or the workers in large urban centres, and yet people are being housed in these isolated areas.
Problem in government?
I think it is a crucial point, you know, the mind makes that we've also got to recognise that these are individuals who are fleeing horrific situations. And while we have problems here in Ireland, in comparison to what, you know, some people are fleeing in terms of those who are coming from Ukraine, from Iran, from certain countries in Africa, it's very important to realise what we're offering. And we also need to recognise...
The context of this conversation, as Michael outlined, is that the growing resentment among communities who did welcome refugees. The question I have for you is, we seem to be reaching a pinch point here for an awful lot of these communities in the spring, when the moratorium on evictions is lifted and when hotels take back their rooms for tourists. Where will you house people?
So this is in terms of the modular home. I'm not saying, and as I said, and we're in agreement on this, I'm not saying that the solutions are going to be easy, but I think that what we are doing is we're looking at the modular home solutions. We're looking at trying to identify, you know, any properties that are essentially underutilised, including state properties, to be able to house people.
You've been saying that for a long time. We don't see evidence of any of this.
Well, sir, there is evidence on the ground
in terms of this, not on the modular homes, which have to happen. This in government for so long. Yeah. Where are they? Because we are reaching that cliff edge.
I agree. We have over the next period, we've got to ensure that we are able to accommodate those who are here. I think
Will we see the modular homes then?
Well, I'm hoping over the next couple of months. I mean, that's the intention of government is to be able to deliver this. Well, we have to, because as Michael said, you know, not all of the properties have indicated that they are going to be available, but not all of the properties are going to be available. I think, Cormac, one thing that is important is you've got to remember, and Mike said, that a number of those who have come here will stay here. Immigrants have made an enormously positive contribution to all of our communities. They are making a positive contribution. They will help in time, both contribute to the economy, and as you say, we have a labour shortage that's there. And when we look back, I mean, I think as Irish people, we need to know our history, not just the fact that we travelled all over the world and enriched other communities.
We need to know our recent history as well. We also
got to remember that there were people with names like De Valera and Lamas and Markovic who helped to found this state.
30 seconds,
Going to say, take the immigrants out of our healthcare system and we're not going to have a healthcare system. That's the reality of it.
Okay, Malcolm Moran, Fianna Fáil, Michael McNamara, Independent TD for County Clare. Thank you very much indeed. 51551.